Good morning. The reading this morning from the Old Testament is Psalm 19, from page 472 in your pew Bible. I'll be reading verses 1 through 4, 7 through 10, and 14. The heavens are telling the glory of God, and the firmament proclaims his handiwork. Day to day pours forth speech, and night to night declares knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words. Their voice is not heard. Yet their voice goes through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. The Lord of God is perfect, reviving the soul. The decrees of the Lord are sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is clear, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey, and drippings of the honeycomb. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. The second reading from the New Testament is Matthew 7, verses 15 through 20, page 6 in the New Testament of your pew Bible. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorns or figs from thistles? In the same way, every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus you will know them by their fruits. Thank you for the word of God.
You know, I've got my message on paper and I have this computer before me. May I close it and put it in some place? Don't close it? All right.
I'll just take it.
Is all right? I love to tease this beautiful young lady. What a blessing she is in our ministry for children and youth. Thank you. Good morning, everybody. I'm Bob Pryor, and I've been around here for 15 years. And I'm happy to be here in the absence of our two wonderful pastors and also our wonderful director of youth and children's ministries. What a staff we have. And I'm so happy that I can sub. Some years ago in the New Yorker magazine, there was a full-page cartoon that showed a magnificent sunrise. Though the cartoon was in black and white, one's imagination could attach colors. The sun and its rays splashed gloriously over the mountaintops. The snow-capped peaks, the pine trees on the slopes, and rugged rock formations formed the background of this scene. Fields of flowers blanketed the valley floor through which a glistening stream flowed with water from the melted snows of the mountains. The shadows of the early morning fell delicately over the scene and thereby enhanced the beauty of the strength and the depth of this inspiring moment. Now, in the lower left-hand corner of the cartoon, there were two men. One was young, perhaps a student, and he had his hand over his eyes looking at the sunrise. The other was dressed in characteristically ruffled and wrinkled work clothes of an artist. His head was covered with a French beret. He sported a goatee. He was wearing a smock that had splashes of paint all over it, and sandals were on his feet. It seemed that this was a master painter commenting to one of his students on that glorious scene before them. As they were looking, the old artist had his hand extended toward the sunrise and was commenting on what he saw. The caption underneath the cartoon has this old artist saying, "Too much purple. The heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament proclaims God's handiwork. And all this old geezer has to say is, too much purple?" My sermon today is about criticism. Ever been criticized? It hurts, or it can hurt. C.S. Lewis, that English brilliant scholar, said Psalm 19 is the greatest poem in the whole book of Psalms. Psalm 19, the greatest poem in the whole Psalter. And one of the greatest lyrics in the history of the world. Psalm 19. After you hear what I have to say, go home and read it full. Now, too much purple is my way of saying, how do we handle criticism? That critical mindset which, whether it's of God, of God's beauty, of God's society, part and parcel of America today is. Well, Dr. Leonard Sweet said, Americans are primarily praise procrastinators. Hardly say it, praise procrastinators. In other words, we don't say it too much. Dr. Sweet continues, others of us are simply awe deficit. With minds spinning, technology fascinating us, we have a high level of tolerance for the awesome. Now, it's not that we show disrespect for God, but must have an opinion always. One thing that bothers me is when people, Christians, in exasperation say, "Jesus Christ." That really hurts. And I hope if you take one thing away is, don't ever say the name Jesus Christ this way, Jesus Christ. That is an offensive way of talking. Now, what I'd like to do is focus on four things. Very briefly, I promise. And I want to use the word dare, D-A-R-E. First, dare, D. We depend on God. As Christians, we declare that we are not totally independent, but we are dependents. And that means that there is somebody else that we depend on in our lives, in our prayers, in our relationships. Depend on God. Plummer, professor of Christian morals at Harvard Divinity School for 37 years, was Peter Gomes. He died in 2011. He wrote, quote, "The good book, reading the Bible with mind and heart." Get a copy of it. You would enjoy it. He's a Harvard professor that you can understand. And he quotes George Washington Carver of Tuskegee Institute fame in Alabama, who, when asked by some writer what he thought was the most indispensable thing for science in the modern age, replied, "The capacity for awe, A-W-E, the capacity for awe." What a strange thing for a scientist to say. After all, what is the sun anyway? A ball of hydrogen and helium that's scheduled to burn out only in 6.4 billion years, God willing. Yet, but there's much more than that. The sun is a life-giving part of creation. Psalm 19, our lesson for today, said, quote, "The sun's rising is from the end of the heavens, and its circuit to the end of the heavens, and nothing is hid from the sun's heat." Awesome. We are dependent also on awe. Both scientists and writers of Psalm 19 agreed that the sun is the source of virtually all the energy used by all living things. The sun's light causes photosynthesis in green plants. The sun's heat causes winds to blow, and the sun's energy enables every animal and person to survive. And the next time you see a sunrise, don't look up and say, "Oh, here's too much purple." Say, "That's awesome. That's awesome." Depend upon God and reflect on awesome things. Now, we have, as human beings, I think some of us, we believe in a Redeemer. But we also seem to enjoy ourselves a lot, and it's not surprising that our American society of individuals consistently fails to produce people who are genuinely and consistently awed. Americans today are among the wealthiest, healthiest, and most educated people in all of human history, and would that America would be a little bit filled are more full with a little bit of awe. Professor Leander Keck wonders why so many Protestants really don't have a great deal of joy in their religion. He says, "We are more impressed by the problems of the world than by the power of God." Now, we are dependent and we have awe. But also, there is a popular American word which is used a great deal, prosperity. And prosperity comes from being connected to the source of life. A prosperous person or prosperous people primarily are people who know that their lives belong to God. And it's our connectedness with God that sustains life. And it's where this dependence on God comes from, meditating on God's commandments. And yet, It seems to me that American society promotes autonomy as one of the great American virtues. Self-sufficiency. If we say we want or need help from others, some people interpret that as being a sign of weakness or instability. Redemption. D-A-R-E. Redemption is that which happens to us. As we depend on ourselves, we don't have to. We can depend on Christ our Savior. And the interesting thing in Holy Scripture, the God of the Bible, is always living and active, full of grace and mercy and steadfast love. That's encouragement. To say that God is our rock is to realize that when we have pain, face troubles, or feel as though we're sinking, just remember that when we hit bottom, guess what? Bottom is solid rock. There's an old gospel hymn, being born in Mississippi. That's spelled M-I, crooked letter I, humpback I, just for a little, so you never travel. There's an old gospel hymn my parents used to sing. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground, anybody know? Sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. But you see, our God is that rock that when we come down, our feet can depend and in awe and feeling redemption and be encouraged by this personal God. A book that I seldom read is called Leviticus. In the book of Leviticus, we read about how, in the realm of family relationships, it is the responsibility of family members to buy back or redeem relatives who have fallen into slavery. And calling God our encourager, that term implies intimacy. In the time of Christ in a family, any member of the family was worthy to have the redemption price of freedom for that relative who had fallen on hard times, gone bankrupt, had to sell everything, including themselves, into slavery in order to fulfill the demands of justice. It was there you stepped in, dare. You depend on God. You are awestruck. You feel God is awe. And you know that that awesome God offers redemption, that is freedom. And the psalm ends in 19. This awesome, dependable God who made the heavens and the earth, the sun and the moon, and the universe and everything in it, is our friend. And my family member who loved me so much that God in Christ bought our freedom. According to Psalm 19, human beings live not by our ability to earn, achieve, or possess anything. Psalm 19 says, God and God's instructions for living are more to be desired, are you ready? Than gold, than money, even a whole lot of money. Sweeter also than honey, the drippings of the honeycomb. You know, we can look in God's creation, the world we live in and the life we live. We can observe in critical analysis that life has too much purple, that is, there's an awful lot to criticize in life, you know. Who's happy? Who has enough? Is it too much of a strain to say American capitalism is built on getting more, getting more? And that getting more, too much pain, too much darkness. But another way to look at the world, as it is, and in praise of God, is to realize that God is dependable. And being dependable, that's an awesome thought. And we see what God is. He redeems, redeems us. And then finally, these put together, dependability, awesomeness, redemption. My goodness, we're encouraged. All of us need to be encouraged. Dare. God is our rock. God is our Redeemer. Always, everywhere. Amen.